within the human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instilled another quality, attribute, characteristic. And these we call habits, habits of a human being. Things that a person does regularly, out of just, you can say, habit. And a person can develop a habit on sort of anything really. For example, we see in the history of mankind, our pious predecessors and elders, different people have different habits that they get used to. And it's not necessary that it has to be something very significant or vivid or clear. It can be a very minor thing, little thing, not even noticeable, but it's a habit. It becomes a habit. For example, somebody develops a habit that soon as he gets up in the morning, he's got to drink a cup of tea. Yeah, this is an example. So this habit develops, becomes solid and strong. And if that person doesn't get tea in the morning, as soon as he gets up in the morning, he needs a cup of tea. He will brew that cup of tea, boil the kettle, and he wants to stay fresh mentally all day long. So that he wants to make sure his brain's ready for work, he needs a nice hot cup of tea in the morning. And if he doesn't get that hot cup of tea in the morning, his whole day goes to waste. But if you look at it, in reality, there's no really nothing here that the tea should spoil the day. But it's because the habit has been developed. And people call this bed tea. Bed tea, I need some tea as soon as I get up out of the bed. For example, somebody has a habit for cigarettes, smoking. What's in a cigarette? Paper rolled up with nicotine and smoke comes out of it when it's burnt. But no, as soon as I get up in the morning, I've got to smoke a cigarette. Otherwise, I'm going to have headaches and I'm going to go mad. And this is what happens. And he starts to get angry and he feels unwell because physically, mentally, the person's molded himself, herself around the cigarette. There's many other examples. People develop habits and the habits run through the day. Someone has a habit in the afternoon. At this time of the day, I've got to do this action. If I don't get this item, then I become distressed or sort of, you know, my life's upside down a little bit. No, and people have habits in the night. And this is a regular thing amongst a lot of people, developing habits for the night time. Different people have a different taste. Someone says, I need to watch the drama. And I need to watch this program on the TV. If I don't listen to music, I won't be able to go to sleep. And different people have different habits. And they have this hal, this condition, that if they don't fulfill that function, that habit that's been developed, they don't feel sleepy. They can't go to sleep. They've made the habit that while I go to sleep, I need to drink milk before I go to sleep. Okay, but do you have to? Yeah, if I don't drink milk, I won't be able to go to sleep. I remember I went to Pakistan. I was staying at somebody's place. And, you know, the milk comes, there's a delivery. The milk is delivered to the house, to the front door. And he had the habit of drinking milk in the evening. And that night, there was no milk at home. And this is Karachi. He's wandering around in the streets. 1 a.m. in the morning, that I need to find a shop. He's got his bowl to fill with the milk, and he's saying to him, what's happened? What's wrong with you? No, I need to find the milk. Please, somehow, somewhere. And he found the milk and then he drank it and then he went to sleep. So this is also ajeeb, a unique, you could say weird. Allah Ta'ala has developed this in the habits of men, of mankind, and people don't get peace of mind until they fulfill that habit. And some people have a habit that if I don't fulfill my dhikr, my daily quantity, I will not feel good. And there are people like this, alhamdulillah. And a person who has this habit, that if I don't fulfill my wazifa, my allotted amount of dhikr that I've been prescribed that I need to do, then I will not be able to rest and I won't have peace of mind. Many people, maybe people have this habit. So he says that before I sleep in the evening, before my day comes to an end, I have to do this. And others do other things, this, X, Y, Z. But he has this habit, or she has this habit, that my sheikh, my teacher has given a wazifa, has prescribed to me an amount I need to do. It doesn't matter what happens, I will do that dhikr before I go to sleep. Now this habit, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, is a habit. It's also a habit, just like other things you can call habit. And Allah Ta'ala says that there's a very good piece of news for that human being who has a habit like this. Yeah, because the big point here we need to gather and understand is that before we go to bed at night, before we retire for the night, before we go towards the little death, which is sleep, and we have a habit that I need to fulfill my wazifa, my dhikr, and then a person completes his dhikr that he should do for that day, for that evening, and then he retires to sleep. When a person gets this habit and he starts to feel, just like the person who drinks tea as soon as he gets up in the morning, I've got a headache. The other person has this feeling. So when a person has this feeling, that I don't feel at rest, at peace. I've got to fulfill my wazifa, my dhikr, the amount I've got to do. When a person's condition becomes like this, then a very big good piece of news comes out of this condition on the basis of tasawwuf, rectification and purification of the person. What's this good piece of news for that man or woman? Not that sometimes he does it, or she leaves it sometimes, or a guest has come, leave dhikr. No. No, doesn't matter if it's 3 a.m, 0300 in the night, he will not feel asleep. He will not want to go to sleep. No, because the habit's been made, and if a person develops this habit, I'm not saying make it, this is a habit. It develops, and a person, if he has a strong link with his wazifa, with his dhikr, like the person who drinks tea, suddenly on waking up in the morning, so the person who's the dhakir doesn't feel enjoyment. Oh, the guest came, they went at 2 a.m, I'm tired, and he lies down on his bed, but he doesn't feel enjoyment. And he will feel like jumpy. Yeah? Jumpy that time because he's got a strong link with his dhikr, with remembering Allah. So here's a good piece of news for a person who has that feeling and emotion. And what's the good piece of news? According to tasawwuf, the subject of tasawwuf, that man or woman who has this condition, that without completing the amount of dhikr they should do each day, and they won't go to sleep, then Allah Ta'ala gives the good piece of news to that person, that within that person, that dhikr, that person has become the raziq, that dhikr has become ingrained in that person. It's stuck, it's adhered to the qalb, the heart of that person, alhamdulillah. This is the sign that dhikr has become ingrained in the heart of that person. This is a big maqam in tasawwuf. When a person studies and practices tasawwuf, then if the person stuck to his dhikr, regular dhikr, habitual, I'll explain this a bit more. Now this condition is that person's link now is direct, strong with his ruh, with his soul, with his spirit, with his inner state and self. And that person now has a friendship, a connection, solid friendship with his or her ruh. And the person now understands the demand of the soul. Because why is that person feeling jumpy and happy? It's because of the ruh. The ruh is demanding the provision. For example, we get hungry physically. So when we eat, who do we fulfill? Whose desire do we fulfill? The stomach. Stomach says food, dinner time. It's lunch time, breakfast time, food time. Sometimes if someone's hungry, different people have different conditions. Somebody's hands shaking, feet are shaking, body shaking. I'm hungry. So what's the demand here? The body is physically demanding food. And the body has a solid relationship with us, and we fulfill that friendship. So when the stomach demands food, we run around or whatever we do to find food, to cook it, to prepare it, to eat. And this is a very old friendship and acquaintance with the stomach. But this is not unique. The unique thing is that ruh that we forgot and left, that we developed such a great friendship with the ruh that we neglect the body, physical friendship with the stomach. And when the ruh, the soul, demands food and it's hungry, we feed it. We understand how my soul is asking for food. And if I don't feed my soul, give it provision, it won't let me sleep, it won't let me rest, I won't get peace in my mind, in my heart. And then he starts his wird, recitation, dhikr, and then the ruh, the soul, gets sakina, sukoon. So this is a big point, my friends, that this becomes the habit of a man or a woman, that the wazaif that Allah Ta'ala has given to the person, because everything comes from Allah, isn't it? That if Allah Ta'ala delivers to us the gift of his dhikr via whoever, then we should not waste that opportunity. We should not waste that opportunity. Why? Because just like, as I said, there's a good piece of news here that there are rewards from Allah for those people. So in the same way, there are losses here as well. There are lots of losses if a person doesn't fulfill the amount he's meant to do or regularly do the dhikr. For example, there's a very great sheikh who has passed away. And everybody is familiar with this sheikh, this pious elder, because he was very great sheikh, Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullahi alayhi, very famous, well-known, popular sheikh, wali of Allah, unique wali of Allah, because his maqam was great for one reason, for this reason, because he took hold of the simple path of Allah's deen, and he gave up a lot of material things in the world. When a person gives up lots of things and makes effort, then Allah Ta'ala pulls that person towards his nearness and makes that person near and beloved. When a person says, no, I can't do this, how can I do this, how can I do that, oh, I'm forced to do this. When a person breaks the shackles, breaks the chains, overcomes the restrictions and obstacles, then Allah Ta'ala appreciates that this person passed the big test, passed the challenges. Just like this one great personality who just passed away. Is it Junaid Jamshed was his name? Maybe? Yes. And why did he become famous? As I said before, because with his nafs, he had a clash with his nafs. He fought with his nafs. Yes, he was famous that he was a singer, a musician, and he eliminated that from his life and then took hold of the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many people do this. Many other people do this. But Allah Ta'ala knows that this individual to come on my path of Islam deen, how much of his desires he crushed, suppressed, and his desires he eliminated and threw them away. And he went totally opposite towards the path of Allah, the deen of Allah. When a person does this, praise be to Allah, when he suppresses his wrong desires, crushes his desires, his nafs, his batin, the demand of his nafs and desires, and goes towards Allah Ta'ala's call, then Allah Ta'ala moreover appreciates that person, elevates that person. Some people, they say, no, it's too hard for me, I'm giving up, it's difficult, I can't do this, society doesn't allow me to do this, how will I be seen by the people, etc. It's difficult, you have to push that person and force that person or encourage. What will people say? What will the dunya say? Maybe somebody will laugh at me. It's hard for me to follow Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, orders, and excuses are made. Maybe it's some other turn of life, if I get a chance. Maybe if he stumbles along the deen again, then it's the maqam of noble people. He does tawbah, Allah says, okay, fine, I'll forgive you. And he comes back to the deen. But the person in his prime time of his life, young age, youthful, and he takes the message, there's a Farsi, Persian verse, couplet, that the person who crushes his desires in the young life, this is the maqam of the prophets, of the Anbiya, that he did such a great action, that he crushed his desires. He was young, because everything, passions and lust, if he wasn't married, or there's no marriage, and there's young age, and that you can carry out the sins, there's passion, there's desires, there are attractions, there are conditions around a person's life, that a person rejects all the attractions, and he goes towards Allah, and he has to leave a lot of things, a lot of attractions, a lot of things that he can do so easily. And this is the test, the trial. And the more test that a person overcomes and takes the risk and pulls himself towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pushes himself, and with quwwat and with power he eliminates the wrongs from his life, then Allah ta'ala elevates that person more and more and more at that time. So Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullahi, great sheikh, great wali of Allah, great pious elder, great maqam, great status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him. What's the reason for this? What was the prime reason? He made big effort. He had to sacrifice all of the things that he was enjoying and the comforts and the luxuries. And in tasawwuf, in the realm of tasawwuf, very seldom will you find someone who does this. You will find examples, but very seldom. The person, for example, to become a fakir, naturally if somebody is poor, he's already poor, he is born not with much assets or money or resources. But if there's a king of his time, supreme king, he has sultanates, kingdoms, lands, princesses, his queen, and their big palaces and buildings and ease, think, we don't even leave our beds in the morning. We cannot even leave our mattress. We buy a bed, a nice mattress, and we put a nice quilt on top. We don't feel like leaving it. I'll have to get up and do the dhikr of Allah. No. And to leave my home, my locality, to go to the other part of town to do dhikr. Oh, it's all right. I put the receive on here, and I put the phone on here, and I listen to the majlis. I won't go. I'll get the thawab. You'll get the thawab. But the person who takes the steps, comes out into the cold, starts his car, and reaches to the majlis, his maqam is more baland, higher status. Somebody comes from this area, that locality. So obviously everyone's level is not the same. Everyone's reward isn't the same. If you just come from across the road, alhamdulillah, thawab is there. Well, one poor soul comes from far. One was leaving home or leaving his work quickly, or he left somewhere else far away. And everyone's coming from a distance with a different amount of effort, different degree of effort. So if we open the book, if Allah Ta'ala opens the book and says that everyone did dhikr, yes, but this person did dhikr more beloved to me. Why? Because he made more effort, more sacrifice, more effort. He thought different things. He left many attractions and comforts, and he came to my majlis. So Allah says, this person's closer to me. And the person who passes his whole life like this, alhamdulillah, on every footstep, sacrifice, giving away his comforts and desires and attractions, and he's never fulfilling the demand of the nafs, whether it's a small demand or a big demand, always going opposite to his nafs, his desires, then that person is a great human being, indeed, great human being. So we need to think here. Either we adhere to the deen and we're regular, but dawah of shaitan, this ain't fun. You don't have to go here. If you don't do dhikr today, what difference will it make? Okay, just leave dhikr today and start from tomorrow. What difference will it make? Oh, just lie down. Then he's gone. He's lost. So this is the game, the tussle, the clash, the tug of war that we're doing. Oh, I don't have to go dhikr today. Why do I have to go dhikr today? It's not necessary, is it? It's not fun. Now, if Allah Ta'ala is preparing a majlis, a gathering, and it's far, and I say to myself, my heart feels like I want to go. It's Monday, Saturday, Thursday. Why shouldn't I go? What's stopping me? The more I go, the more I sacrifice, the more effort I make, the more reward I'll get, the more I'll get in the hereafter. And if a person says, I'm only going to go on Monday, okay, you'll get the reward on Monday. If he says, I'm only going to go Tuesday, only Tuesday, Thawab. And if the other person says, no, I'm going to be regular on all the gatherings, I'm going to suppress my desires, lower my desires, go against my desires, because Allah has given me these chances, morning, evening, every day, this majlis, that majlis, so I've got to run to these opportunities, and these opportunities are in front of us. Now a person makes his own destiny, and he makes his own habits. So this is a habit that you've made, I've made, I've got to go and do dhikr, and I've got to go to the gathering, and you've developed this good habit, and habits can be good or bad. For example, sometimes it's 7:45, 8:10, 7:30, oh no, it's quarter to 7 today, Isha, oh no, I'll go to the majlis where it's quarter to 8, Isha. And nafs, you control it, you go against it. No, my heart feels I need to go there. If I don't go there, that's not good, is it? And nafs is saying, no, you don't need to go there, it's late today. And you say, no, but my heart wants to go there. And when you start to dislike the desires of the nafs, and you want to do those things that the heart is saying are good, then your heart has got the love of the dhikr of Allah ingrained within it. So we need to search this, find this, develop this. That have I got this feeling? And am I feeling this? No. What is the demand of my ruh? If the demand of the ruh is good, I need this, and it's demanding the ruh, alhamdulillah, then consider that there's great success. Allah Ta'ala has given His fadl upon this. He's a dhakir in the kitab of Allah. That we are feeding the ruh, we are giving the provisions to the soul, and we're making the effort, alhamdulillah. That's it. No, I'm here, I'm in another country, I can't join in, I'm here, I'm too far away. Allah says, I don't look at distances, I don't look at these things. Allah is khabir and basir. When Allah gives hukam, order, He knows that you might be here one day, you'll be in another place that day, you'll have this condition, this circumstances. Allah Ta'ala knows about everything. Allah says, sometimes I'll put you into the trial of wealth, or the trial of poverty, or difficulty, or different issues will maybe surround you. But the question here is, if you've got dhikr in your life as the basis of your life, as the pivot action of your life, and despite all of the issues surrounding you, your ruh, your soul is demanding dhikr, and you're feeding it on time, you've got the friendship with your ruh, then Allah says that this person has made the dhikr of Allah raziq in his heart. Dhikr is ingrained in his heart, and he's become the dhakir. Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatul alayh, great sheikh, great personality. He wasn't a small time person. Great individual, great sheikh. Imagine his hal, and look at our hal. No comparison. So, once, and mashallah, what a big, he gave up lots of things. Now how he reached close to Allah. One night, he was doing his wird, his dhikr. And one night came that he didn't do his dhikr. Now, we could say, what's one night if you don't do dhikr? It's not fard. For example, I say to myself, I go dhikr every day, morning and evening, 5 majlis a week, 5 gatherings a week, morning and evening. Okay, tonight I won't go. And I fall asleep. I'm a bit dozy and a bit lazy. And then see the conclusion. Because this is the line of tazkiyah, tasawwuf, the subject that we're studying and implementing. So this path follows tartib, methodology and correct methodology. So if a person makes effort, and in the day of judgment he's right at the back of the queue, what good will come out of that? What's the point then of all the effort we're making if we waste the opportunities? Allah Ta'ala says that you played according to your nafs. When you felt like doing dhikr, you did. When you felt like leaving it, you left it. 3 days dhikr, 4 days you don't do it. 3 days you come, 4 weeks, 6 weeks you don't come, you leave dhikr, you change direction. You change. We say, is he run off? Has he gone? Then he comes back, 2-3 days again dhikr, then disappears. This is a game. We're playing games with Allah. This is not regularity. The sawwuf is regularity and methodology, correct, habitual. That we need to create the connection with Allah, regularity in the remembrance of Allah, the relationship with Allah. So if we're there, we're in that locality nearby, and dhikr is taking place on our footstep, on our doorstep, and our soul is asking for the food, the provision, we don't give it, our ruh is dead, empty, and we're not feeding it, we're not fulfilling its desire. So this is a subject, an important point we need to understand, we need to learn from this. Now, let's not make our own album of success. I'm fine, I'm pious, and I'll do what I want when I want. No, we will regret tomorrow. Most verily, indeed, we will regret tomorrow. For those times and moments and days or nights when we have left Allah's remembrance. So Hazrat Ibrahim rahmatullahi left the dhikr of that evening. What a rank he had, status, his ibadat, his worship, his mujahidah. So he left dhikr that day, that night. First and foremost, he said, my batin, it turned. Yes, for example, I give you the understanding of this, that you get up in the morning at the Fajr time, you come out and it's fog. Fog is spread all over and everything is hidden at that time, isn't it? It's concealed, hidden, yeah, from view. So he said that my batin was concealed from view. I couldn't recognize, I couldn't see it. Totally empty, void, that in the fog. Can you see anything? Totally a void. You try to leave, see things, get somewhere, but there's mist. Flights get cancelled, cars have accidents, and there are problems outside. So he said that within me, my batin, it was lost. It was like a haze. Foggy, muggy, I couldn't see my batin, I couldn't recognize myself within. My friends, if we get deceived, oh, it's only one dhikr, I left it in the morning. What difference does it make? I'll go in the evening. I'll do dhikr. Oh, no, no, don't do this. You will fall into the nafs trap. You're wasting your life's effort. Are you seeing this? How the nafs traps are. This is the line of the sort of the subject of study. And this is not a game. It's not a game. That who do we need, who, what are we trying to attain? The qurb ilahi, the nearness to Allah, Allah's nearness. Imagine this, Allah's qurb. And Allah Ta'ala himself is saying that I will call out to you, that oh my makhluk, my creation, oh universe, listen, this is my friend who remembers me. This is what we want to attain, isn't it? We're traveling on that journey. It's not difficult to get this result. That Allah, the Khalik, the Malik, the owner, the provider says, that, oh man, look you, look at all creation, how dare you ever give pain or negative effects to this person? He's my friend. Tell me who can put his hand on that person, who can look at that person in a bad way, unless it's haram for the whole universe, creation. That Allah announces that this is my friend and nobody can harm him. So if we want to attain that station, platform, then do we neglect Allah's remembrance on random days? No, we have to become men to Rajal. No, we start complaining. No, we have to be true to our words. No, no, it was difficult for me. I was traveling. I couldn't get there. Oh, I didn't feel like it. No, solid. You should be solid and firm, upright. So, Hazrat Ibrahim rahmatullah said that within it became foggy, my batin, I couldn't identify it. And what about us? Sometimes we come, sometimes we don't come, sometimes I do dhikr in the morning, sometimes I leave it next day, I don't do it next evening, I do it. So let's promise to ourselves that the wazifa Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the dhikr that we've been prescribed, we will fulfill it every day, then go to sleep, then we will see the success. So, Hazrat Ibrahim rahmatullah said, after that what happened? My batin, I couldn't see it. It was overwhelmed by a haze and no clarity. Then I got the punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave the punishment to his wali, to his friend. Imagine that. What happened? That Allah ta'ala sent such a sleep over me that my faraid for that day I missed. This is maut for a human being. It's like death, isn't it? It's like death. It's like, you know, the person doesn't feel like he wants to be there. That the fard, he missed the fard, the faraid. Oh, the fried went to waste. And then a call out came from his batin. Allah Ta'ala said, oh Ibrahim. Because he had a strong link. Allah said, Ibrahim, become a man. True to yourself. Become the true man and you will get the enjoyment. You will get the rewards. You get the rewards. So this is not the connection of a man with his Lord, that you follow your nafs. The connection of the man with his Lord, servanthood, equals whatever Allah says you do, I do, he does, she does. You feel sleepy, let it come. But Allah's order is you have to stay awake, you have to stay awake. No, no, I'm feeling sleepy, or I'll leave today's dhikr. No, no, no. This is not correct. No, fulfill the wazifa, the amount that has been prescribed and allotted. So the ruh, the soul, and tasawwuf, it identifies the ruh, and we need to completely 100% feed it every day with the dhikr that we need to be doing. We need to care for it, nourish it, cherish it. And he had a great maqam. And if this happened to him, the great sheikh, then he wasn't a liar. He wasn't a hypocrite. His salah that day went to waste, his faraid. And Allah Ta'ala warned him. And Allah Ta'ala also said that when the rewards come, Allah said, man, Hazrat Ibrahim, to Hazrat Ibrahim, Minad Allah gave him the direction that correct yourself, improve yourself. And he was also on this line, following the path of the tasawwuf. A great sheikh himself, such a great personality, as I said to you, that he made such big efforts and he left big attractions and he made sacrifices in his life. And he had a big maqam amongst the company of the walis of Allah. Once he was sat, there was a well and he was sat there. And there was no water in the well, and a man came, looked in the well, and he saw the fakir. Why is this man sitting here, this old man? And he looked carefully, he said, "You're the king, he's the king of our time." And he looked, he said, "Are you Ibrahim?" He said, "Yes." "Are you surprised?" He said, "What are you doing here? Sat at this well." He laughed. He said, "What are you doing sat here, next to this dry old well? Are you foolish? Such a big kingdom you've left. You got torn clothes, disheveled state. You sat here upon the mouth of the well." He was shocked. "Why are you doing this? Why have you left such a big palace and money and assets and buildings and resources and wealth?" He said, "Is it?" As Ibrahim said, "Is it? I've left this." He was quiet. And the man had the bucket in his hand with the rope, and he wanted to take the water out. And Hazrat Ibrahim said, "Lower your bucket, take the water out. Why are you looking at me?" He lowered the bucket, dragged it out, and the whole bucket was full of gold. He said, "What's this? What's this?" Then Hazrat Ibrahim said, "Throw it down again, the bucket." He threw it down again, lowered it again. He lifted it out, full of silver, the bucket. Then he lowered it again, pulled it out, and then it came out with the gold bars, biscuits. He said, "The more you lower it, the more the gold will come out, as long as this fakir is sat here." Subhanallah. He said, "I have not taken loss. I have not taken loss. That wasn't wealth. This is wealth that Allah Ta'ala gives to whom He wills." That he had the connection with Allah. Great Shaykh. Great wali of Allah. When he passed away, as Ibrahim Ramtai, subhanallah, very few walis of Allah have gone through this experience. Subhanallah. And I saw my Hazrat myself. Once I saw a similar sort of thing, that before the death of Hazrat Sahib Rahmatullah, my Shaykh, at the Kaaba, Baytullah, there was a person there and he saw a dream. And Hazrat was there. And this was the final Hajj, the last Hajj, Hajjul Wida of Hazrat Sahib. And he came and asked Hazrat for the interpretation of the dream. He said, "Hazrat, in the night I saw a unique dream." And Hazrat said, "What was that?" He said, "Yes, what did you see?" And he said, "Hazrat, I saw that these minars of the Masjid Haram Sharif, you know the minars that are there, the minarets." He said, "I saw in the dream that this minar in front, and there are two minars here, that they have dropped to the ground, they've fallen." And Hazrat said, "Hazrat, what does this mean?" And Hazrat Sahab said, Hazrat Sahab was silent. Then Hazrat said, that from the world a wali of Allah is about to depart, and there will be no replacement for that wali. Allah. And after 2 months, Hazrat Sahab passed away. Allahu Akbar. Greatness of the wali of Allah. Greatness of the wali of Allah. And did he know that man? And what a great, did he know that this Shaykh is the great Shaykh sat here? And if Allah was to make it apparent, then everyone from the world would have come to accept and to accept his wilayat and to be at his service. But Allah Ta'ala conceals and hides. And subhanAllah, so now going back to the event, he's coming to the well and he's pulling out the gold from the well. He had such a great maqam. When he departed from the world, what was his death? Then what happened? The whole world, an announcement reverberated around the world, an announcement that descended into the consciousness of every man and woman that aman, peace has ended in the world today. And definitely when the wali of Allah departs from the world, because when the wali of Allah is living physically in the world, there's aman, peace, rahmah that descends from the heavens of Allah. Allah sends the rahmah, the mercies down due to the wali of Allah, the special, khas, unique wali of Allah who's living in the world. Due to the physical presence of the wali of Allah in that well, Allah Ta'ala removes many calamities and destruction from the world. Sometimes it happens then that when the wali of Allah passes away, suddenly diseases come, or a battle comes, or a war comes, disasters come, calamities come, big things occur, and then you see a lot of issues and worries and distress in the world at that time. That's how Allah Ta'ala looks after the world. Allah said, this is a hadith, that the nisbat, the connection of the wali of Allah with Allah, is that Allah Ta'ala keeps peace and aman. That if there's a person in the world who keeps on saying Allah, Allah, then the day of judgment will not come. This is the power, the strength of the wali of Allah, the dhakir. Allah Ta'ala ceases, stops many negative impacts on the world due to the wali of Allah. Allah says disasters or natural disasters were to come, but as long as my wali is in the world, I will not pester you, Allah Ta'ala says. Due to the barak of the wali of Allah, rizq comes, provisions come, wealth comes, illness is reduced, diseases are removed, eliminated. As soon as the wali of Allah passes away, then suddenly darkness comes, spiritual darkness comes. We see this, it happens, it overlaps and overwhelms the world. So then a call came out that look, the wali of Allah is passing away, and aman, peace will it be eliminated from the world. And the third day after that he passed away, and it was ajeeb, his death. If I tell you that until today it has not been realized that where is his grave, where did he die, and where is his grave, his mazar. Allah Ta'ala kept this hidden, this fact hidden, his wali hidden, that nobody knows until today that where is his mazar, where did he die, where was he buried. Nobody knows where Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam Ramtari passed away, was buried. This was his maqam. What was his hal? One day, I go back to the example, he left his dhikr, his prescription that he should have done that day of dhikr, and what's happened to him. And look at our hal. We come one day, we don't come the next day, we do it one day, we leave it the next day. It shouldn't be like this, brothers. If this was his hal result after leaving his dhikr on one day, then what a big misconception we're sat in. Let's follow this path sincerely. This is the line of the walis of Allah, those people who understand, who realize, and we've understood everything, but the nafs doesn't allow us to understand and follow and implement. So this point has been explained to us clearly, that our wazifas. So if we have a teacher, dhikr has been taught to us, do this much in the morning, this much in the evening. Allah has given this to us. I've got to do this much. Allah says, remember me this much in the morning, this much in the evening. We should fulfill the total amount each day, then do everything else in the day. And we initiate the day with this. We initiate the day with this. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've given me your nearness, your nisbat, your connection, and your heart should be shaking to do dhikr. Just like the fish has come out of water, it shakes, trembles, and you should be shaking, I should be shaking. That tasbih I'm not doing. How can I carry on with the day with my job? And the Hazrat sat in the masjid and doing dhikr. Can I sit in another masjid and do dhikr while my sheikh is hosting a dhikr majlis? The question doesn't arise. That I sit in my home or somewhere else and do dhikr, and my sheikh is doing dhikr somewhere else. And without any reason, I'm not coming. Without any valid reason. What a big deception. Darkness, the veil in front of our hearts and minds, that a person sat there doing his own tasbih and his sheikh is in the same town doing dhikr in another masjid. Allah says, you're in the darkness. Misconception. So a person who doesn't follow, that when a person doesn't do his dhikr correctly and he follows his nafs, Allah says that it's not your body that you're obeying, the demands of the body, that you can eat 4 or 5 chickens and sit down and your stomach will be full and happy, and your body will become big and fat. But it's not our body we need to fulfill the desire. Allah says that you need to suppress the desires, do 100,000 dhikr ismi zat, and then come towards my nearness. Because it's the root that we need to strengthen. It's the root that will allow us to fly and succeed after death. The root will take us to the heavens. It's our root that will be presented to Allah, our soul. And if our soul is weak, we haven't fed it, nourished it, we keep on feeding the stomach and the body, then the body, yes, it will allow us to go to sleep in the night on the bed. But if we strengthen our ruh, do dhikr 100,000 times, remember Allah, stay away from the sins, purify the ruh, the heart, because if we give haram to the body becomes useless, becomes a waste, doesn't it? In the same way, the food of the ruh should be halal as well. Lawful. That if we feed haram to the ruh, then we can't do dhikr. If we give halal, then we can do dhikr, wala, we can fly. Otherwise, the ruh will get a stomach upset, and there's no doctor that will give it antibiotics or a medicine. And he will say that Allah, I was unwell and he made me more unwell. What sort of food is he giving this? He does haram on top of that, then he does Allah, then he's giving me a stomach upset. He's putting the wrong things into my stomach. So always give the food to the ruh, spiritual, good, pure food, in which there should be no haram, unlawfulness, no wrong actions, no sin, no wrong commitments to do the sin, no bad intentions. On top of that, do istighfar, tawbah, cleanliness, and then do dhikr of Allah, Allah, Allah. And consider that I'm presenting the food to my ruh. I'm giving pilau or what, zardab, sweet rice. And then when there will be strong strengthness in my ruh, then it will fly after death towards Allah. It's the ruh, our soul, that takes us to success, isn't it? So we need to prepare and feed the ruh nicely. Look after it nicely. So my brothers, may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that we can be successful on this destination, on this path, on this journey, be regular and steadfast. So Allah Ta'ala has given us his dhikr and wazaif daily, and let's fulfill that every day on time completely. Ameen.